So remember that the Holy of Holies corresponds to the Deuteros. So it's significant that at the center of the New Covenant, we would find the incense censer. This is translated as golden altar of incense. That's not correct, is it? It's the way this is being translated. It doesn't say golden altar of incense. It just says golden censer, which the high priest would take into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. This is in the Deuteros, in the New Covenant, in the world to come. The Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God. The cherubim, overshadowing the mercy seat, that guard the way to the tree of life. We find there in the Deuteros, in the Holy of Holies, the jar of manna, representing the word of God, which descends from on high. Messiah, eternal life, incorruptibility, the hidden manna. We find Aaron's rod that blossomed, symbolic of the resurrection, and of course the Aaronic priesthood, token of the high priesthood. We find the Ten Commandments, which is the Torah itself, implying that the Torah is at the very center of the Deuteros covenant itself. And the writer of the book of Hebrews laments that he doesn't have time to talk about this stuff. So, we don't have time to talk about this stuff. We got a few minutes. Okay, golden censer of incense. Not to be confused with the altar of incense. This is from the Day of Atonement. It teaches us, it represents the atoning incense, which allows the high priest access into the presence of God. Teaches us that the atoning service before the throne, which we associate with Messiah, is part of the new covenant. Ark of the Covenant, very presence of the Most High. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes a point that though it is made of shittim wood, it's covered on all sides by gold, something he sees as symbolic, he doesn't elaborate on it. But its presence in the Holy of Holies teaches us that the throne of God is part of the new covenant. It's part of the world to come. The manna. It tells us the Messiah takes from this manna and he feeds us when he comes. He gives us of the hidden manna. This is the hidden manna. It symbolizes immortality, doesn't it? Because manna itself symbolizes corruption and mortality. It's here today, wormy tomorrow. But this jar lasts forever and ever. A single jar that lasts forever and ever. An omer of manna. The rod that budded, the Aaronic priesthood, neat. The Aaronic priesthood has a part in the world to come. Tables of the Ten Commandments, that's the Torah, cherubim, the way to the tree of life. He goes on to say, these preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the protos, performing their ritual duties. If we could say that this represents the Holy of Holies then, and this represents the outer place, I just want you this to be very clear. Menorah, table, altar out here. Altar of incense, altar of burnt offering, laver, all that stuff outside in the protos area. First covenant, this present world. Holy of Holies, ark, manna, rod, Torah, new covenant, and world to come. Okay? So in the outer, in the protos, we find the elements which represent the needful things of this present world. The altar of sacrifice is necessary as it pertains to sin and the shedding of blood. The laver pertains to bodily purifications. The menorah pertains to the illumination of godliness into the darkness of this world. The table pertains to Israel, the 12 loaves, their presence on earth before God. The altar of incense pertains to prayer offered from this world over the veil. The priests entered into the protos area every single day, twice a day, corresponds to day after day, the mundane realities of our world. Yet, that doesn't mean it's not godly or spiritual. It's not without godliness. It's not without light. It's the realm of the divine service. This is where we're able to serve. It's out here. This is the place of Israel. Here's the place of prayer. This is where you go to pray. Here's the place of worship. You don't just hang out in the Holy of Holies all the time. Like, oh, never mind the menorah and the table and all that sort of stuff. Just let me in through the veil. You know, like that song, take me past the, you know. Daily worship services occurred in the protos. So only the high priest went into the deuteros. Now we're all going to head into the deuteros. We're all going to get there someday. You know, we're all going to pass from the world to come, pass the veil, through the veil, the world to come. But at that point, it's game over. More beautiful is 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world than all the life of the world to come, what the sages say. Why? Think about it. What credit are you going to get for being a righteous person or doing good deeds in the world to come? You'll be like an angel. Yeah, you'll be like an angel, but it's only in this world that you have that makes the difference. Into the deuteros, into the second, only the high priest goes, but once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy place is not yet opened, into the holy places, when it says places, it means holy of holies, is not yet opened as long as the first section, the protos, is still standing. Here's the big mistake. We would assume that the writer is speaking of the Jerusalem temple, standing or not standing, as in before or after its destruction, but that's anachronistic because the writer of the book of Hebrews was not, he could have been, but he's not speaking prophetically here because the temple was still standing when the letter to the Hebrews was being written, and it will stand again. So the fact that it will stand again, if we're saying, well, it's not standing, and that proves that the way into the Holy of Holies has been made known, then when it's rebuilt, it's like, okay, the way into the Holy of Holies is not known anymore. So in order to make these passages fit that mistaken meaning, some Bible translations change the tense of the verbs to the past tense and add several qualifiers. And you'll find this in several of your translations. But this is theological bias, where they're eager to show that the whole temple system is irrelevant, it's done away with, it's over with, but Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple. So notice how the ESV does it. In the present tense, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places, into the Holy of Holies, is not yet opened. Wow! Is that troubling? Is not yet opened? Why? Because the protos is still standing. And he's not talking about the fact that the temple is still standing, because that's not it. I mean, remember, only part of the temple represents the protos, and part of the temple also represents the deuteros, so you can't say it's because the protos is still standing. Forget about the destruction of the temple for a second. What does it mean the protos is still standing? Just keep reading. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first, the protos, is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. In other words, let me put it this way. We're not in the world to come yet as long as we're in the present world. That's all he's saying there. As long as we're in this present world, we're not in the world to come. It's pretty simple.